Kind of feels like DC sports are turning a corner a little bit, doesn't it? This has a similar feel to where things were around 2019, right? And a lot of things changed. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Look, there's a long way to go, but like, what's there to be angry about today, right? Like, I'm not going to sit here and try to find something to be angry about. There's plenty of time for that, right? I had an entire Commander season where I was losing my mind by basically the end of the first quarter when they're down two touchdowns. But I mean, even just it has that feel. Think about it. Commanders, the draft went the way that it should have, right? The best way that it could. Now, you may not like every pick. You may not. They checked the boxes they needed to check, and you know how I feel about draft grades. I think they're kind of lame, but you can at least look and see the positions that they filled and the guys that they drafted and how they could fit within that team. And Sonny Styles is the big one. I mean, right now, you could make the argument that you've got your franchise quarterback for the Commanders. You've got the anchor of the defense, the quarterback of the defense in Sonny Styles. We'll go with that. A lot of young players on the Wizards, and then the franchise cornerstone potentially with the number one overall pick. Because, look, that's the hype around these guys, but it doesn't guarantee everything. It doesn't guarantee that A.J. DeBonsa or Darren Peterson are going to be that guy. But right now, that's what we're operating with. And I'd even say, look, the Nats, 3 games under .500, but the expectations, there were none. I mean, there were no expectations on this team. So I'd even argue that they're in a spot now where you can say, there's something brewing there. Again, baseball's 162 games, so it's hard to get really, really excited when you've got so much time ahead of you in a season, but you see something that's there, right? Caps are in their own world because, you know, it's about Ovi and you know, what his future is. And I get they've got younger guys there. They're kind of planning for that. They may not miss a beat. I mean, Ovi could retire, and they could still be a playoff team. I mean, there's a chance of that. But, you know, the important boxes are being checked with these teams around this city. And, you know, we don't have to talk about the DC sports curse anymore. Those championships were won and gone through all that. But it doesn't mean there aren't still milestones that matter. And, you know, the Wizards being just a legitimate playoff team year after year is going to be a big start of that. And the Commanders establishing themselves as a team that you trust to make the playoffs every year. Again, I'm not setting high expectations for these teams yet, but what I am saying is that those are reasonable things to look at as what could be coming down the road. That's really what matters right now. I mean, just think of the amount of dysfunction we've seen with the football team. For the love of God, the floor is higher there. Like, we can agree on that. I know for a while during the regular season, there was, oh, Nick, it feels like it's the Dan Snyder era. And I kept saying, guys, it's not. You know, it's not. It may feel like it, but it's not. And that's the big thing to just keep in mind with this, is that you have teams now that have a plan here. Now, the Nationals, there might be less of a plan. You got a whole new front, you know, it's new front office, manager, different things there. Ownership's the question. Fine. But even so, the team is at least, I mean, honestly, I'd argue the Nats are better than where most people probably expected them to be, right? But when it comes to the Wizards, it's a blueprint and a real rebuild. When it comes to the Commanders, it's a blueprint and a real rebuild. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't come without any expectations, and it doesn't come without any questions, and it doesn't come without you saying, I still got things I need to be proven to me as a fan. And that's fair. You should keep your guard up. This doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect and we're all just going to have beautiful seasons. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is we are starting to see a level of follow-through with organizations that we weren't getting in the past. They're not taking the easy route, but they're taking the route that gives you that actual sustainability. That gives you a team that every single year you look at. Because wouldn't it be nice to look at the Commanders and say, yeah, I just can't ever count them out in any game. I don't know what it is, because that's what we've said up until this past year about the Chiefs. And listen, people are still saying that now. The Chiefs, I've said this about the AFC a lot, right? The AFC is loaded with talented teams, great defenses, young quarterbacks. You can make the argument for at least 10 teams, maybe more, making the playoffs next year in the AFC. But at the same time, even with what we just saw from the Chiefs, and even with really a quiet offseason other than Kenneth Walker, I mean, they didn't go out and make a ton of huge additions. But they have Patrick Mahomes, and they have Andy Reid, and you look and say, I can't count them out. but they've established that reputation because of their past and also great relationships with officials, you know, but besides that, and we could get to that point with the Commanders where that becomes a conversation. They're not there yet, but that's what you're trying to establish is like, you've built a culture, you've built a in Adam Peters we trust. That's not there yet. There was a long time of in Rizzo we trust. We trusted Mike Rizzo for a long time. And, you know, that's based on reputation and that's based on resume. And the Wizards and Commanders are both in similar spots. And it'll be interesting to see, too, as the offseason goes on, something I'll probably revisit. So I took calls on this, I remember. It was before the NFL draft. And it felt like a lot of people actually had more confidence in where the Wizards were going than where the Commanders were going. But I'd like to see after the draft and where things shape up with the Wizards and see how people feel about all that. So we're not going to do that yet. That'd be interesting to see how you feel about that. You can tweet me at Nick Ashew if you've got that answer now. But, you know, this there's a similar – you could compare both sides, the Wizards and Commanders, in the way that they're building and say, yeah, they both could be in for big jumps, not just the Wizards. Now, the question becomes, what are the Commanders' expectations versus what are the Wizards, right? Because if you're looking at the Commanders – you won 12 games, then you won 5 games. So what the hell is this team, right? It's the same front office, coaching staff, but a different roster. But you got a lot of the main pieces still there. For the Wizards, it's just been lose, and now the arrow's going up. So it's different. I don't know what to make of the Commanders in the sense that which one is their true identity, because we got to know what the quarterback is. We got to know who Jaden Daniels is, not as a player, but as a physical... like, not as what he does on the field, but as a physical, actual human being that can stay healthy. That is the goal. That is what we need, right? That is what we have to see, because as Jaden Daniels goes, the rest of this team goes. Now, if Sonny Styles can establish himself very quickly as the leader of this defense and as a perennial Pro Bowler and things along those lines, then you're going to be talking about you've got your leaders on both sides of the football. And that's a major step, because then there's the trickle-down effect after that. They're establishing the culture. They're establishing the success. Those are the guys that you can count on every single week to do what they need to do to help this team win on both sides of the football. Everything else will start to fall into place after that. But that's football. For the Wizards, it's different, because who establishes themselves now as the young guy that kind of sits over the rest of the young players, right? Because it's two different things. It's all the kids. It's the Wiz kids. And then it's Trae Young and Anthony Davis. And we have no idea whether Anthony Davis is actually going to be on this roster next year. So that's a whole other thing. So who is going to be, and maybe it's A.J. Tabonsa, if they draft him. Again, I think that's happening. But is it going to be him that's sort of the number one in the pecking order? Is it Alex Sarr? And, you know, have to have a level of leadership that's established and somebody that's vocal and somebody that's a part of that. Jaden Daniels, we know his leadership. Sonny Styles, we're going to see what his leadership certainly is in this role. I think if you see him in any interviews or get any sort of information from anybody that's talked to him, dude's a natural-born leader. He's got the personality. He's got the work ethic. He's got the leadership ability. All of that's there to be that guy, right? To be that guy. But you got to show that you actually can. And these are the types of things that have to come together. It's different with the Commanders than it is with the Wizards, where both teams could take the next step, but yet we still got to see what they actually, you know, do they develop that talent? Do they show that they can grow these players? Do we know that they can get to that next level? Because I'd say right now, here's what I would say for both teams. Let's start with the Commanders. If I were to say best case scenario, I'm going to paint, this is going to be a realistic, not a, the Commanders win 15 games and shock everybody more than I'm not going to do that. Realistic for the Commanders next year that we would consider a success, a real successful season. Their win total 7.5, mind you. Now that's just what the books think, and that's where people are betting, and it, you know, that doesn't guarantee everything. It gives you an idea though of just kind of the expectations for this team. It's certainly more than 7 wins. It's certainly more to me a win for the a successful season Commanders high end double digit wins, and we're talking 10, maybe 11. Now, and that's high end. Again, we're going high end with this. That's everybody stays healthy. That's Jaden Daniels looks not just like he did his rookie year, but better, improved, comfortable under center. The offense is clicking. David Blau has utilized all of the weapons they have in smart, successful ways. And Antonio Williams is showing that he could be Amon-Ra St. Brown. And, you know, though that's how you get this team to high end. And the defense is middle of the pack. I mean, really, let's be honest with ourselves. What are the expectations for the Commanders' defense, honestly? High end is 15th, 16th, maybe, in total defense, if you're really lucky. I mean, they gave up 384 total yards a game last year. I mean, they were atrocious. So if this team is a middle-of-the-pack total defense, and the offense gets back to where it was at its peak in 2024, yeah, 10-11 wins and high end is reasonable for the Commanders. It's not a first-place schedule. It's not anything like that. But it doesn't mean they don't have tough games coming up this year. But that's going to be something that you have to look at and say, it's all the pieces come together for them. Now, if all the pieces come together for the Wizards, and it's even more complicated because we don't know whether Anthony Davis is a part of this. So we're going to go with what they got on the roster right now. So we know the high end for the Commanders. If we were to look at what we think the high end for the Wizards could be, high end successful season, that's Anthony Davis is on the roster. All right, we're going with that. So if Anthony Davis is a part of this roster, part of this team the entire year, and you get 55 games out of him, let's go a low number, but reasonable for him. 55 games. Healthy, and when he's out there, he's motivated. Again, we're putting all the best scenarios here if we're trying to build this up. Best case for the Wizards. Anthony Davis gets you 55 games. He's a 20-10 guy, protects the rim, happy to be out there, looks motivated, you get all that. Meshes well with Alex Sarr when they're playing together sometimes. Trae Young, efficient, not taking away shots from everybody else, but taking away attention from defenses. You see more from Trey Johnson. You see more from Keyshawn George. You see more growth from Will Riley. And A.J. Abonso lives up to the expectations that are there. That's a 45-win team. Really, that's a 45-win team in an Eastern Conference that has a lot of wide-open spots down at the bottom. A lot of teams with a lot of questions. Again, high-end. 17 to 45 wins is a lot. But they are an over 500 team. If those things go well, there's going to be some level of injury. There's going to be some level of stuff that you just have to deal with. I get it. But they've got a lot of young guys, too, that given opportunities would then also have to step up. Again, these are high end. Everything happens. But we've seen teams make those jumps. We've seen the Pistons do it. We've seen the Thunder do it. We've seen the Spurs do it. Big, big jumps. Now, this is a big one. I get it. But they weren't really a 17-win team. They were probably more like a 23, 24-win team. Again, it's not much, but they were maximizing that losing at the end of the season. And it worked out, right? That was the goal. Definitely didn't want to lose your pick. Did not want to lose that first-round pick. Remember, that was our worry for the Wizards for a while. It wasn't even just about, like, God, are they going to get a number one overall pick? For a while this season, it was like, oh, my God, please don't lose your first-round pick. Please don't lose your first-round pick. That was a worry for a while, and then that was finally alleviated. We could turn that pressure down a little bit, but then it was still, where are they going to fall in the draft? So the pieces all fell into place there, so you hope maybe the basketball gods can be a little generous for this team this year. Maybe it's going to be in a spot where you're going, okay, we're not just talking play-in. They're fighting to get that sixth seed and not even have to be a part of the play-in tournament, or you know, you just have to win one. You're a seventh seed and you get in that way. Those are the high-end expectations for both of these teams. And they're not out of the realm of possibility, but everything has to go right. Hey, everything had to go right for the Wizards to get the number one overall pick. If we could go back in time right now and just tell ourselves from this time last year, they did it. They did it. Wouldn't it be nice? Just breathe. They get through it all. It's probably going to be A.J. Abonso too, and nobody's going to complain about that. I know I sure won't. But what will we get from A.J. Abonso should he be the number one overall pick by the Wizards? I think we have only seen him scratch the surface just given the situation he was in college. I'll explain next. Nick Ashew on The Fan. Nick Ashew on The Fan. At Nick Ashew on Twitter, Navy Moe says, success for him for the Wizards is competing for 48 minutes, having the arena sold out night after night with excitement, and being looked at NBA-wide with a positive relevancy. Everything else will fall into place. I mean, listen, right? It's reasonable now. It's reasonable now to start having these types of expectations. It's going to be step by step, but here's the key. With that tweet right there alone, looked at NBA-wide with a positive relevancy. And I think that's what really matters. It's not just how even the fan base feels about the Wizards or the Commanders, right? Both teams that are in the middle of a rebuild. But it's also how the rest of the league views them, because that helps. Your reputation as an organization matters. There's a reason why certain owners did not want report cards to come home to their parents, and by that leaked to everybody, because when the rest of the world finds out that your organization is not highly regarded by players, that's a problem. Makes you less likely to sign free agents. You miss out on certain talent. Agents will steer them away from you. Same thing happens in the NBA. Same thing. And, you know, this is the reputation for the Wizards for a long time was that it was more about the Capitals were the dominant team and the team that mattered more within that arena. And it's changed now. That's a reputation that they're starting to shake. But you can't shake that unless you actually put that out there, right? Like, people have to see it. They have to see the effort. They have to see the results. And that's where you're starting to get this now. And then again, the player development and all these things have to come into place. I'll say this, though. I think A.J. DeBonce is only scratching the surface of his talent. And, you know, people are going to compare him to Darren Peterson, and it's fair. And if you're the Wizards, you don't just lock in on DeBonce. You're going to look at Peterson. They're going to look at Cameron Boozer and Caleb Wilson, and that's going to happen. They're not drafting those guys. It's between DeBonce and Peterson with probably a 90% chance it's DeBonce. But A.J. DeBonce is a generational prospect. I mean, he is. Now, one of the main comparisons that are out there is Jaylen Brown, and some people would say, oh, Jaylen Brown is... Dude, Jaylen Brown, did you watch Jaylen Brown with the Celtics this year? Two-way guy that was putting up 30 a game when Jason Tatum was out? I mean, Jaylen Brown was a monster this year. He's been overshadowed a lot in his time in Boston with Jason Tatum there, but he is really good. And that's, again, that's a loose comparison, but the point is it's like a two-way guy that's a primary offensive option that can play off of stars. Like, those types of things are there. And I think the fit works for DeBonce, too, with the Wizards, because if you go back and look, I mean, when he was at BYU, he's getting double-teamed the entire time. People are looking at him shooting, you know, 33% from three, and it's, I mean, yeah, because he's double-teamed the entire time. It's going to be different on the Wizards, especially if you've got Trae Young out there taking shots. Like, that's going to be an issue. Teams are going to have to look at Trae Young shooting from 30 feet out. A.J. DeBonce is going to get some opportunities. Now, Trae Young's shooting 25 shots a game, and he's, you know, 9 of 25, it's not going to help the rest of the team, but he is going to take attention away from that defense, and it's not just him. Trey Johnson is somebody that will, to a lesser degree, be a guy that defenses have to pay attention to. Alex Saar, different type of player, but you're going to have that. Like, these are all guys that are going to get a level of attention from other defenses that are going to give A.J. DeBonce that opportunity to show that he is a better shooter, that he's going to have more open shots, that he's going to get a chance to create a little bit more, because he's not just the guy at BYU. That's what I'm saying. It's a great opportunity for him, too, because going to the Grizzlies, going to the Bulls, had they had the number one overall pick, those teams are at the beginning. They just gutted their roster. The Grizzlies aren't even done. I mean, they still have to figure out what they're going to do with Ja Morant. A team like the Wizards, they've already got the young foundation in place where A.J. DeBonce is getting welcomed into that group, right? He's not going to always be the focal point. I mean, he